The miracles of Christ always begin with some type of human misery or suffering, whether it be leprosy, whether it be a withered hand, or even just ignorance or shame, as we saw last Sunday with the woman at the well. And then, in the midst of that human misery and suffering, Jesus arrives on the scene. Jesus shows up, and there's some kind of engagement between Jesus and the suffering person, which elicits, we always see, a response of faith for the person who's healed. And then oftentimes, after the healing, there's this proclamation of faith. The person who's been healed goes and tells everyone about Jesus and what Jesus did for them. And it's a beautiful model for us, you know, of evangelization. It's a model for our own response of faith and what that should look like. And there's many examples, there's many scenes in the Gospels like this. And today, the church gives us the healing of a blind man, a man blind from birth. And this miracle, or this sign, as John calls it in his Gospel, becomes an important insight in terms of what the Lord does for our deeper sanctification. All the physical healings in the Gospels are signs of what Jesus wants to work in us in terms of spiritual and internal healing. The healing of the body is there for our instruction in terms of the healing of our soul. We can't see our souls, right? But we can see a physical healing. And that therefore becomes a sign. It points to what Jesus wants to do in our souls. What does Jesus want to do in our souls? What is his goal as he prepares to head to Jerusalem and undergo his passion? He wants to liberate our souls. As I'll probably touch on as we get closer to Holy Week, Jesus is preparing to lead a new exodus. He wants to liberate his people from the bondage of sin and death. And the healing of this blind man today is, in a real sense, a liberation. It's a liberation from darkness. Someone who is blind has organs that don't allow light to enter into the interior. So it becomes a profound sign of what sin does in our life. Sin blocks us from the admission of light into our soul, which is God himself, which is Christ himself, who is the light of the world. St. Paul says today in our second reading, "Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness." I'm also reminded here of the beginning of John's Gospel, which reads, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." This season of Lent, culminating in Easter, in the Easter Vigil, makes much of the symbolism of light and darkness, sight and blindness. So beginning next week, during what's known as Passiontide, the images in many churches will be covered, will be veiled, as well as the images in many homes of the faithful. It's a tradition to veil crucifixes and sacred images during Passiontide. And they remain veiled until that great unveiling on Good Friday, when we behold the wood of the cross on which hung the salvation of the world. And then a new light literally springs out of the darkness on that great night of nights, the Easter Vigil, when hell is conquered and man is reconciled to God. Jesus has come to illuminate us when we were slaves to the darkness of sin. He's the light of the world. He conquers sin and leads us out of darkness. How? Primarily today by means of the sacraments. Beginning with baptism, we enter into the freedom and the light as adopted children of our Heavenly Father. And if we've fallen from grace through sin, we've fallen back into darkness, Jesus restores us to sanctifying grace. He brings life back into our souls in the sacrament of confession. So we can rise from spiritual death to spiritual life. If you haven't been to confession yet this Lent, I strongly encourage you to do so. Keep an eye out for the upcoming penance services at St. Anne's and here at Christ the King. Or just come to one of the regular times offered each week. As St. Paul exhorts us, now is the time to awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I'd just like to conclude today's reflections with some beautiful words that I found from St. Ambrose, one of the great doctors of the church, who has a commentary on this gospel reading today. He says, quote, "The only reason for his mixing clay with the saliva and smearing it on the eyes of the blind man was to remind you that he who restored the man to health by anointing his eyes with clay is the very one who fashioned the first man out of clay. And that this clay that is our flesh can receive the light of eternal life through the sacrament of baptism." Now, if you're a catechumen, I highly encourage you to listen to this next part. But really, all of us, because we're all about to renew our baptismal promises in Easter. So everyone pay attention to St. Ambrose here. He continues. "You too should come to Siloam, that is, to him who was sent by the Father. As he says in the Gospel, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. Let Christ wash you, and you will then see. Come and be baptized. It is time. Come quickly, and you too will be able to say, I went and washed. You will be able to say, I was blind, and now I can see. And as the blind man said, when his eyes began to receive the light, you too can say, the night is almost over, and the day is at hand.